This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My name is Alan Scott. This is the place where government actions come face-to-face with business decisions. Online at www.bgov.com. And of course, on the air right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And I do a lot of driving around the Washington metropolitan area. My daughter's in dance. My kids do sports. They do all kinds of stuff. So I see a lot of things. And one of the observations that I've made is that we are an area consistently under construction. We have buildings going up over here. We got mixed-use places going up over here. And I can't drive blocks without seeing an open house sign somewhere. Lots of residential stuff going up, which leads me to question or wonder how this is possible. When I turn on BGov this morning, I see a breaking news article that basically says, hey, guess what? Housing's not as popular as one might think it is for various reasons. The author of the article is here with me. Her name is Michelle Jamrisco. I knew I was going to mess it up. Hi, Michelle. I'm so sorry. Oh, well, she is an economy reporter here with Bloomberg News. Reformed, you define yourself or describe yourself as a reformed political journalist?
A little bit, yes. It's in recovery, I would say.
In recovery, yeah. Okay. I've also got with a senior economic analyst, Dr. Neela Richardson from BGov. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Alan?
I'm doing well. So I wanted to get the two of you together because, number one, this article was really cool. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's called Builders Worked on Fewer U.S. Houses Than Forecast in January, which I kind of question. How is that possible? Michelle, please enlighten us.
Well, a big topic today is how much the weather might have had some impact in this. And, of course, economists are trying to gauge, you know, how much it may have influenced builders to stay away from sites. Or maybe even slowed the permit process to get permits approved for this. But there's other weakness in it, too. I mean, there are other reasons for the weakness. You know, mortgage rates are climbing higher since the middle of last year. So affordability is a little bit crimped and, you know, demand is not where it used to be. But, you know, there's, again, so many different theories. Winter is traditionally a harder time to figure out what's going on with the data.
Right. So housing starts actually fell about 16%. This is the biggest decline since 2011. Yet I still see these signs going up all over the place saying, hey, they buy this house here, low interest rates, this, that, and the other. And they seem to I seem to see more and more and more of them no matter what time of year it is. Let's face it, winter's been around for a long time.
Right.
So to claim that, I mean, there's got to be some noise in this data somewhere.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of economists are saying. I mean, we did have kind of unusually cold weather in January, but, you know, on the upside, it was pretty dry.
Right.
You know, if we think back to last month before all these crazy storms, you know, for the most part, it was dry, which doesn't necessarily keep builders from sites. You know, they can brave the colder temperatures, but not necessarily the precipitation.
I see Dr. Richardson over here calling shenanigans. She's she's like, I don't know what's going on here.
Well, one thing to keep in mind is that we only look at seasonally adjusted data generally. So some of this weather factor has been taken into account in the data. When the weather is very extreme, it's harder to do so, as Michelle stated. But we do adjust for that seasonality, and we've been having winters for as far back as I can remember. I don't know about you, Michelle, but
we are clearly younger than you.
Absolutely. So, but the key is, if this is indeed weather related, then we should see a rebound very quickly when the temperatures warm up. You know, by the end of March, early April, we should see a full-fledged return of housing activity. If we don't see that, then it's very likely that some structural weakness in the housing market and the economy is a driver of what the downturn we saw today.
Michelle, you made a point here in the article that I guess you spoke to someone from Beazer Homes.
Mm-hmm.
Beazer based out of Atlanta.
Well, we took that from a transcript, but yeah, they spoke on their earnings call. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Thank you for the clarification.
I just want to make
sure. They basically said, status quo. No, no big deal. No bubbles, no troubles. We're all okay right now.
Maybe we shouldn't worry so much.
Well, there you go. It doesn't look like we really need to be too concerned about this. Is that what we're getting
at? Yeah, I mean,
this?
I think it's a matter of what time frame you're looking at, too. I mean, they don't really talk about the weather so much in that transcript, as I recall. But they make a point that I think others are making today as well, is that, you know, in general, this doesn't change a lot of people's outlook for the year. It doesn't change, you know, a lot of people saying we're still in recovery mode for the housing industry especially. So, you know, at 1 month, it's one of those, you know, take it with a grain of salt type reports. There's weakness here, and yes, some of it might be true weakness, but it could be temporary, and that's what a lot of economists are saying right now.
Looking at the inventory of homes that we have out there at this point, would one say that we're about to, once the weather warms up, turn into a buyer's market?
Well, I think a lot of people hope so. I think there are some constraints on, you know, there's some reports of home builders finding some trouble getting lots secured, and even supply of labor in some cases, which might be hard for some to believe who are looking for jobs. But there are always those kinds of factors that might be interfering as well. I think, again, though, the consensus is that we should be able to see at least a little bit of a pop after this weakness in the winter.
Will the banks cause any problems as interest rates continue to rise, Neela?
We tend to think of housing as a monolith, right? We talk about the housing market, but really what it is a bunch of little markets. So in the D.C. metro area, you're going to see a lot of tight inventory. I doubt you'll see a buyer's market ever here because of the high house prices and the demand for housing in this part of the world. But around the country, you might see some softening on that way. Now, to your question of banks and interest rates, banks have been laggards in offering credit. That's been the underlying theme of this housing recovery. It's one of the reasons why we're not seeing as much pickup with first-time homebuyers, because right. they're not being able to get the credit that other more wealthier buyers have. And so whether or not higher interest rates would actually spur banks to offer more loans is something that I know the Federal Reserve is hoping for, and a lot of housing market watchers are looking for as well.
The economy, let's shift gears slightly and just talk about the economy in general. Mm-hmm. I know that I was out of town over the weekend, and my brother and I just started talking about just random things and how the price of certain things have really increased. Let's face it, we were at a bar, we were drinking, and he's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe at the home this wouldn't cost this. Of course, I'm in a vacation place. But he brought up something that I found fascinating, is the weather controls the economy. Similar to what we're talking about here. What I mean by that is, let's think about your electric bill. His electric bill tripled this time of year. Mm-hmm. It was over $500. I don't remember the exact amount. Normally it's like $175, something like that. The economy controls, the weather controls more than what we think. And in this case, are we going to become a nation of, let's say, weather poor people? You know, the people don't go out and shop. Weather's bad. People are saying that shopping was down. The brick and mortar stores suffered. Did online shopping increase as a result, or did nobody have power? I mean, it's not like everybody just crawls up into a ball, or do we?
You know what? I'm not convinced that weather by itself is the primary driver of economic activity, though I agree it does play.
I think Mother Nature pulls the strings on everything.
On many things. Agreed. But it's playing a role in these winter months, but it's also a time that we are looking and trying to dissect every bit of information from the economy,
right?
Because so much is at stake right now. The question that reoccurs, underscores all of this, is, are we in an economic recovery or not? Or is it just the weather blowing things around and we can't tell? There's still fear that the recovery hasn't really taken hold yet. And so any excuse that we can make for why housing is not as strong as it should be, retail sales is not as strong as it should be, unemployment is still down, any excuse, even weather-related, helps us bear with the fact that we still don't know the fundamental answer to that question.
Mm-hmm. I think some consumers, too, I mean, we'll see this bear out as we release more consumer sentiment surveys. But I think some consumers are thinking, hey, if it is weather, you know, there's always spring. and we're looking forward to, you know, next month is March. I know I'm looking forward to March 9th, daylight savings. And then we got, you know, the coming of spring right after. So, you know, I think people will pick up their attitudes, whether it's warranted or not. And sometimes that can have an effect on things like consumer spending,
right,
when they feel better about, you know, how things are looking just in general.
I was in Virginia Beach over the weekend, beach town, traditionally beach town, and most shops closed. Nobody was around. They make a bulk of their money, obviously, during the warm months. Right across the street from the hotel we were staying in was a guy who owned a t-shirt slash grocery slash everything kind of store. Took up about half of a block. And he just stood out in front of the place the entire time. Just kind of stood there watching people go by. Nobody's going in. And my dad stops by and goes, "Bet you can't wait for summer, huh?" And he goes, "You can't even imagine how happy I will be once it gets warm." You have to think about that poor shop person who now is, because he lives in a temper or a climate that changes, an area that, why not just move? Why not just go take your tack your stuff up? And
but then
go.
He'd have to sell his house, Alan. You know how hard that is.
That's inventory. Cut your losses. Get out while you can.
Even those folks on the Jersey Shore, I think, sticking to it.
Who wants to live in the Jersey Shore? That's kind of the next question. So, by the way, for those of you who are listening, you're listening to Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, where my guests are Dr. Neela Richardson and, of course, Michelle Jamrisco,
yes,
who is an economy reporter for Bloomberg News based in Washington, D.C. And for those of you who aren't aware, and they've got drinks. Of course, my cup is empty.
We'll pour you some after.
Thank you. So this is just kind of a roundtable discussion of sorts about various things. And let's talk a little bit about jobs. Jobs numbers completely disappointing. This last time around, weather related, not weather related?
You know, that's a hard one. A lot of people said yes, but, you know, we saw growth in construction, so that would kind of belie the fact that it's weather related.
Yeah, we are talking about housing going down because people aren't building, and yet construction jobs went up.
Right. And we also saw a decrease in healthcare and retail, and healthcare should not be weather dependent. In fact, cold and flu season is now. So, just joking. We're getting all these mixed signals, basically, from from the economy. But the jobs numbers, I mean, that wasn't mixed. That was disappointing.
Yeah, the tough part about that, too, is as you look at the jobs report, I mean, often people forget that we have two different surveys there. We survey businesses and we survey households. Mm-hmm. And for the businesses, we ask, you know, we being the Labor Department, asks, you know, how many people are on their payrolls for that survey week. So if anyone was getting paid, then, you know, they didn't necessarily have to be in the office to be counted.
That's completely self-reported.
So, you know, a lot of these things, they may in some way have been interfered with by the weather, you know, if they weren't there to report accurate data, or, you know, if in some way, you know, they miscounted because of weather interruptions, who knows? But there's a lot of more noise in the jobs reports lately too.
Local economies lost a lot of money as a result of the weather. They are paying lots of overtime. They're out of snow removal money, let's say. How do they continue to operate the rest of the year? I mean, where's that money coming from? What are they going to do?
It isn't coming from the federal
it's
government.
Not coming from the
federal
government. Exactly.
So they have the rainy day funds or the snowy day funds.
Right. No office party this week. I'm sorry.
The local economies have had mixed pass forward since the recession. You see some really terrible disaster stories like Detroit and going into bankruptcy because of the housing crisis, because of the recession. And then you see some booming economies in North Dakota, for instance, because of the shale revolution. So again, everything is local when it comes to housing. And now we have all these local trajectories in terms of economic recovery. Some will fare very well. Some won't.
There are certain industries that will fare very well as well, although the defense industry is one that continues to take cuts as a result of that sequester, so to speak. I would imagine that will turn around at some point, maybe.
Well, by all indications, this is the path forward, a smaller, leaner military. And that was going to be the case whether or not we saw a sequester or not. The sequester just kicked it in its butt in high gear and made those cuts happen in a haphazard way. Now with the budget, they can happen in a more targeted, strategic way.
one may say targeted strategic, one may say still rather haphazard when you have a plane such as the F-35, which has been cut dramatically. Well, I won't say cut. Let's say we're just not going to put all the really super cool advanced technology in it that we could have.
Yeah, that technology military trade-off is huge. Yeah. And I'm not an expert on how you slice that apple or cut that pie or whatever analogy you want to make, but I know it's something that is going to take ongoing discussion to figure out.
I'm completely baffled when it comes to that, especially when it's our nation's military, the people that protect our borders and protect us, so to speak. I saw a lot of it over the weekend in Virginia Beach, just plane after plane after plane flying overhead. I had kids going, look, there's another one. I saw it. Look, there's another one. Yes, it's just like the, look, there's another one. Thanks. It's just like the last five that we saw. That's okay. That's all right. I had fun. Had a good time. Exactly. Thank you for being trained there. Well, any parting thoughts on the economy, Michelle? Anything that you want people to take away from an economic discussion with you? When you're at a party and you are found out as an economy reporter, what's the first question someone asks you, and what kind of information would you impart upon them?
I think a lot of times, and I don't blame them, a lot of people will focus on the headlines, and you know, this happens most often with the jobs report, and it often becomes very politicized because it's easy to take just one thing, the headline number or the unemployment rate, and to draw conclusions about it, and often, unfortunately, fitting your predisposed notion. So, you know, I'd invite people to look a little deeper. There are a lot of factors, as we saw this morning in the Housing Starts report, that are weighing on either side. There's weakness. There's also signs of strength. There's the broader outlook that's a little more positive than today's report would show.
Right.
So, you know, it just try to be a little more objective. Try to get a lot of different economists' opinions, which, you know, in my former life as a political reporter is something that we had to do often for various reasons. But as a journalist, I would continue to promote that.
Would you say that the answer that's typically given, or the response that people get to these headlines, are the ones that you don't really have to think about? You can clearly make a decision, yes or no, or, oh, I'm on this side, or I'm on that side, or the president's horrible, or, hey, the president's great.
And particularly with something like the jobs report, it's easy to take a number and say, oh, my God, 74,000 or whatever the case may be, that sounds awful. Yeah, that relates to how I feel about the economy because I think we're still in a rut. Or, you know, if on the upside, oh, wow, 140,000 or so, that seems bigger than I expected. Sounds like a lot of people are getting jobs. Maybe we're not so bad after all. And really, either of those analyses are pretty, too succinct, as we would say. It's
sure.
Just you need to dig a little deeper to figure out what's going on.
Dr. Richardson?
You know, I'm an economist, but I'm going to wane a little bit political here. We've talked a lot of issues on your show. We've talked about debt ceiling debacles. We've talked about the sequester. We've talked about the federal shutdown. And you think back to the last 2 months, we now have a budget.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a better space in terms of the sequester. And we avoided a debt ceiling battle, a clean debt ceiling raise with no attachments. A lot politically has been solved. And that kind of gets some stuff, some noise out of the way so that the economy can recover. So as we head into 2014, I'm hopeful that now that some of the fiscal drag has been taken out of this, the economy can start again, get out of second gear and start moving forward again.
When you put it like that, we've been through quite the ride.
We have.
You know,
we have.
It's been exciting.
And you almost sound surprised that they were resolved.
Well, you know, they had to clear all that stuff away for the midterm elections. I'm not a complete optimist. I know the idea behind it, but I'm glad they did it.
Let's sweep it under the rug before we get to the election so nobody remembers this, and remember that I'm still their person.
The economy will be stronger for it. And we leave, since Michelle and I are both women, we leave with another woman as head of monetary policy.
I know.
And Janet
How
Yellen.
Cool is
so,
that?
You know, there's a lot to be optimistic about in this economy.
When she was appointed, how did that make you feel? What were you thinking, Michelle?
Well, I mean, it was kind of long in coming, to be honest. I mean, we had been speculating the possibility that, you know, as she was vice chairman, she could ascend to chair. It's an exciting time. I think a lot of people were very, the whole process was a little distasteful as to how it played out. There was a lot of, speculation about Larry Summers and all else. But, you know, the consensus is that she's very qualified and she's at least got the experience to run the run the board, so we'll see.
Would you say her appointment was more or less exciting than women ski jumping in the Olympics?
Oh, my God. Ski jumping is just a fascinating sport to me, so that's a tough call.
Neela? Okay, I know you're a big snow luge person.
It's actually ice dancing, Alex. You know, if she would have revved up the taper, she could have equaled the speed jumping. But given the slow, moderate approach to the taper, yeah. We might have to go with it.
Maybe we could see Janet Yellen ski jumping, and then we'll complete all of our dreams.
Yeah. Just like Janet Reno's house party on Saturday Night Live. That'd be awesome.
It's a classic, yeah.
Ladies, you were both awesome. Thank you very much for being a part of the program. Of course, Dr. Neela Richardson, Senior Economic Analyst with Bloomberg Government, and Michelle Jamrisco, who is an economy reporter here at Bloomberg News in Washington, D.C. Thanks a lot for being a part of the program.
Thank you so much.
This topic of builders working on fewer U.S. houses than forecast in January turned out to be so big, they covered it on television. Here's how it sounded on Bloomberg's Market Makers.
So the weather may be stopping the housing recovery in its tracks, at least temporarily. The pace of U.S. home construction fell 16% in January, the biggest month-on-month decrease in 3 years. That may be due to what's turning into the coldest winter in years. And yesterday, a gauge of home builder sentiment showed a sharp decline, too. Jerry Howard joins us now. He runs the National Association of Home Builders, and he's with us from our Washington Bureau. Jerry, is the reason we saw this decline strictly because of the weather? Builders were out there ready to build, but it was just because of the weather they were stuck at home.
Well, I think you hit the nail right on the head, Stephanie. And evidence of that is in the numbers. If you analyze them a little bit more deeply, you can see, for example, that the Midwest housing starts were down 60%, while in the far west, where the weather hasn't been as dramatic, they're very dry out there, but that doesn't impede building. Starts are actually up 10% out there. So this is totally a function of one of the worst winters in years.
But why? I can understand why starts are down, right? If it snows this much, it's hard to get in the ground. It's hard to even get to the site. But why would confidence be down for buyers later in the year, 6 months out, 8 months out? I mean, don't we still expect people to need houses regardless of how much it snowed in January?
Well, I think when you've got guys sitting around in their houses, they start to look at the various different factors, and they get a little bit nervous. And there are some issues out there. There's no question about it. The appraisal system, which was sort of devastated and showed how fractured it was during the downturn, is still in a position where it's dicey for builders. Builders are having a hard time meeting appraisals still, and that's something that each state has to look at independently. Secondly, there's a serious problem with labor. Not only did a lot of people that were in the industry leave the industry during the downturn, now the whole debate over immigration has an industry, our industry, which is largely reliant on immigrant labor, wondering if we can even get the workforce in place to meet the demand. And then third, you have a real serious problem with the capital system still. The availability of capital to builders has been an issue for the past 5 years. By the way, I find it ironic that the newly legalized marijuana industry got the regulations for their capital flow in less than a year, whereas the housing sector's been waiting for 5 years to determine what the future of capital into our sector will be.
Well, clearly we need weed more than we need home.
Are we going to see builders scrambling to get work done in the next couple of months? Once things warm up and they can get back on the ground, are they going to have to pay laborers overtime to get those projects finished that they expected to have done in the next month or so?
Well, the builders have to be careful because they have to meet their margins.
That's Jerry Howard, Chief Executive Officer of the National Association of Home Builders, talking about the impact of winter weather on U.S. housing. To learn more about Bloomberg Government, simply call us at 877-498-3587. Bloomberg Government.
Bloomberg Government.
Where business and politics come together. And with that, we put the wraps on this week's edition of Bloomberg Government's Capital Impact. Follow us on Twitter at BGov. Follow me on Twitter at Alan L. Scott. I'll be back next Thursday at 11 with plenty more to say about the business impact of government actions. For BGov's Capital Impact right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, I'm Alan Scott.